Our guest on this special, Talking with TC, is a young man who grew up as a diehard Mets fan and now ranked as a number 8 prospect on the team's organizational rankings. He joined the Mets at the trade deadline from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for star reliever Luke Weaver. He was the player of the month in the South Atlantic League during July. He's now playing in the high Class A Brooklyn Cyclones in the South Atlantic League, New York's own Sammy Stafor. Sammy, welcome to Talking with TC.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm super excited to do this.
Well, it's exciting to see you, Sammy. Hope all is well. And how was it when you found out you got traded to the Mets? I mean, if you're a lifelong Mets fan, what'd you think?
I mean, I heard the Mets and I was like, oh my goodness, like this is a dream. It was super exciting though. My parents, my family, all my friends, I got hundreds of texts from them and they're all so pumped. So I mean, that means as much as it does to me as it does to them. So I'm super glad that I'm part of this organization. I've had a great time the last 2 weeks and I'm just excited to keep playing baseball.
So tell me about becoming a Mets fan when you were young, because I know in New York, you know, you're a Yankee fan or you're a Mets fan. How did you develop into a Mets fan?
I mean, first of all, I don't really like following the crowd and what other people like. So a lot of my friends were Yankees fans and I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm going to be a Mets fan. I think that was probably when I was like 5 years old. So became a Mets fan. I think my parents kind of liked them a little, but they didn't know much about baseball, but I decided to become a Mets fan and I stayed with it.
Oh, that's cool. What's your favorite memory of being a Mets fan?
It must have been that World Series run. I mean, we got together, the whole neighborhood. We were watching every single game. I mean, it was just a super special season. It was filled with a bunch of joy, and it was just super exciting. I mean, the family was so excited. I was so excited. I remember, like, I mean, the whole, like, town got together. There was, like, 30 people. We were watching it together throughout the whole playoffs, and it was just so much fun.
So, Sammy, what part of New York are you from?
I'm from Westchester County.
Oh, Westchester, so, okay.
So, yeah, it's like 45 minutes probably from Citi Field. It's not too bad.
No, I actually, Jason Bay, when I had him, he lived in Westchester. Yeah. I think my coach Tim Tuffle lived in Westchester. I think he's from Westchester originally. Really? But I think Tuff, you know, I know Tuff was living there too when he was with us. So, but yeah, it's a great area. It's a great area. Well, I'm certainly thrilled that you're with the Mets now, and you were a Mets fan back then. It was a tremendous run, and you're going to get the chance here in your time with the Mets to meet some of the greatest players you'll ever be around. And I will give you this tip: learn from them.
Yeah,
learn from them. You know, you're going to get to meet David Wright next spring. If I were you, I'd take him off to the side and have a list of 50 questions about what it's like to play in the big leagues, because one thing about him, he wants to help. And a lot of times in recent years, he's gone to spring training and we have dinner together and I'd say, so what'd you do today? He goes, nothing, absolutely nothing. I said, well, that can't happen. That can't happen. Cause this guy's one of the best I've ever been around in my 50 years. So, you know, you're going to get those opportunities to be with those guys and make the most of it, because they are, everybody that's played with New York wants New York to be successful. And if you're the future, they want you to be successful. So take these opportunities, man, to, you know, learn what it takes. And, you know, other than that, just go play. Go play and have some fun playing.
Exactly. I mean, for sure, I'm going to bombard him with questions. He's one of my favorite players, too, so that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of them. You'll be shocked about how many guys that, you know, when they show up and they want to just sit down and talk, because we all love the game so much. And as I told John earlier in the show, you know, and I spent 23 years in player development with the Dodgers, and, you know, to think, you know, I watched the Matt Kemps and the Russell Martins and the Kershaws and the Billingsleys. And even though I had great coaches in the minor leagues, I hired good coaches. You know, you always think you got to have a piece of their career. So, you know, listen, go play, and don't get, you know, don't just be the best player you can possibly be. You know, I always believe, Sammy, you were drafted and signed because you've got skills. Let those skills play.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get it all. You know, when I became a field coordinator of the Mets, Lucas Duda came to me. I was talking to Lucas Duda one day, and I said, what are you going to work on this year? And he said, I got to start pulling the ball more. I said, why? Well, because I have to. I said, who told you you have to? You got more power than anybody in baseball. There's, you know, balls go out of left center field just as good as they go out of right center field.
That's and so true. I said,
you'll learn. You'll learn how to do it. The more you play, the more you'll adapt stuff. So it's a great challenge for you, man. I wish you the best. So you're playing in Brooklyn, huh?
I'm playing in Brooklyn, yep.
So your family gets to come and watch quite a bit, I bet.
Of course they're super excited. Unfortunately, they're in Alaska this week, so they couldn't really
well,
come
you're in Nashville.
To the games.
You're in Nashville.
I know, they're just far away, so they couldn't come, but I am in Nashville, far from Brooklyn as well, but yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
John, tell me, you originally got drafted by Cincinnati?
Originally by Cincinnati, and then last year I got traded to the Pirates at the deadline, and then this deadline I got traded to the Mets.
Holy cow.
Yeah, three orgs in pretty much 2 years now.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, that's good value, pal. I mean, that means a lot of teams want you.
Yeah, and the Mets really did, you know, with this trade, it was one for one, which was really, you know, showed how much they did want you. And the fact that they also paid down some of Luke Weaver's contract to bring you over. It also, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. So, you know, one thing that Terry was referencing, you know, about the Lucas Dudas and do this. Terry, I want you to tell Sammy your relationship with Daniel Murphy, who's probably one of the smartest baseball guys ever. But in spring training, didn't he just clutch onto you? And tell Sammy that story about Murph.
So, Sammy, when I first came to the Mets as the field coordinator, Dan Murphy was he was in the big leagues. And spring training of that, my first spring, he got hurt. And I think, John, you can correct me because you're the historian in this, but it was either the last day of spring training or the second to last day he tore his knee up.
Yeah.
And so he went on the disabled list. So back then, all the rehab stuff was done in Port St. Lucie. You know, we had facilities for it. So when I would go to St. Lucie, Dan would be there and he'd get up every morning and go in and get his treatment on his knee and then go out and watch the rookie league team practice. All morning, he'd watch them practice. And he'd sit there and he'd talk to guys about the, duh, I don't know if you've met Dan yet, but he's a baseball junkie, okay? He loves the game immensely, loves to talk hitting. And then that night, I would go and says, when you're the field coordinator, I had to watch the rookie league team in the morning, and then I'd watch their game at noon, and then I'd stay there for the Class A team and watch them work out and stay for the game. And who's in the front row at the game? Dan Murphy, talking baseball.
He really loved it.
Huh? I'm telling you. And this guy, I became so close to this guy because he knew the game. He talked the game. He loved the game. He talked all sorts about, you know, the swing adjustments and pitch adjustments. And that's why, you know, it's pretty funny. After 2015, when, you know, Dan was going to be a free agent, I went to Sandy and I said, we need to get him back. We need this guy back in his team because even though we had some great players, this guy was a baseball guy. And he would do anything it took to be successful. And obviously, we didn't, I guess, got more money from the Nationals. But you're going to get a chance to meet Dan one of these days, and you'll enjoy talking to him.
That's exciting. He comes to spring training. Do all these players come to spring training? It sounds like a good group go there and watch some baseball.
Well, one of the things Steve Cohen has done, he believes in history. He believes in the past, bringing some of these players back. So you're going to meet Strawberry. You're going to meet John Franco. You're going to meet David. You're going to meet Murph. Murph comes to spring training. I don't know.
Reyes.
Yeah. Who does?
Jose Reyes.
My God. Yeah. He's another one. You know, and when you get down here, when you finally get down to Florida, you get my number. We'll have dinner and maybe Cecil will join us because Cecil lives down here in St. Lucie. He does a lot of things. He does a lot of things in Cuba, but he'd be interesting to talk to for you.
Yeah. What do you remember about that 2015 season? I think you were 11 years old when the Mets made that run. And any memories of TC and that team and what it meant to you growing up as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, That I know there was the Wilmer Flores moment where he thought he might have got traded and then he hit his walk-off home run. And I thought that was special. He was crying. He was super pumped. And then to see him stay on the team, I don't know. I thought he was a key piece. I loved him as a player. We all rooted for him. That was super special. I mean, Daniel Murphy's run in the playoffs was something different. It was like, it was awesome to watch. It was like the best baseball I've ever seen. I feel like he just hit a home run every single time, or a double, or that clutch hit. And it was really a key part for the World Series run. And then also I think it was game three of the World Series where Syndergaard started the game off by throwing the ball high and in on, I think that was
Escobar.
Yeah, Escobar. And then that just started a whole, like, it was, the heat was there. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, that was pretty funny, Sam. He said, so just before he walks to the mound, this is a true story. He does his warm-ups, you know, and he comes in the dugout. And just before he goes, he's leaving the dugout, he looks at me and goes, hey, TC, I got a little something for him. I'm thinking, now what's he going to do? I mean, so he threw it over his head. I wish it would have been up in there, but he threw it right over the top of his head. So the next day at batting practice, Mike Moustakas, who played third for the Royals, comes over and he came over to say hi to me. And I said, hey, I saw you doing a little bit chirping out of that dugout when Syndergaard threw that. He said, that was horrible. He shouldn't have had to do it. I don't know why he did that. I said, well, if you didn't like it, why don't you go out there? He said, I'm not going out there. Did you see how big that guy is? I'm not going out there.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So, yeah.
I remember seeing it. I think I saw it on Instagram or something like a month or two ago. And then you came out too and you're with umpire. It was, I mean, it was a legend.
Well, that was Utley, Chase Utley day.
Yeah, that was the ass in the jackpot argument with Tom Hallion. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that one, Sammy.
I'm not sure.
I will send it to
you. I'm going to tell you something. I was just in New York. I was up in New York this past week, and I'm walking down Fifth Avenue, and I had six people stick their phones in my face with this argument I had with the umpire that's gone viral. And so, it's crazy.
Well, Terry, I just put it up on the Facebook page of yours because our Facebook page has been growing like crazy. And I put it up 2 days ago and it's gotten 40,000 views on it already. So that argument lives in history. And Sammy, I'll text it to you. And I think you'll get a kick out of it. That was like, that's why the players always like with Terry and him having their backs. And I know that that whole thing with Utley, you were a big Tejada guy yourself, weren't you? Weren't you a big fan of Tejada's?
I was. I mean, that whole squad. I mean, when I was growing up, I loved every single player.
It was great memories. But you're in Brooklyn now. Offline, we were talking about the minor leagues a little bit, and you know how far of a bus ride it was. And you said something like to Terry, "If it's more than a few hours, you're on
more
a plane."
Than 5 hours. More than 5 hours, we fly here in with Brooklyn, which is awesome. I didn't get that luxury with my other teams. We would have to drive like 10, 12 hours. But, yeah, if it's over a five-hour car drive, we fly.
Terry, that's not like your days.
But, you know, I got drafted by the Pirates, Sam. And so,
really?
Yeah. We were playing in the Carolina League, and I played with a Hall of Famer. Dave Parker was on the team. Yep. We only had four helmets. Okay? So if the bases were loaded – if the bases were loaded, there were times, you know, and I have a very small head, so I got lucky because nobody wanted to wear my helmet, you know, if you had a helmet that didn't fit, you had to go trade helmets with one of the guys on the bases. We only had four helmets. Yeah. There was another next year in AA. We didn't have any money, and so we had to drive cars. We all pulled it up a bunch of – they couldn't afford to get a bus in the Eastern League. And wow. I think we drove 10 hours from Sherbrooke, Quebec to Burlington, Vermont for a game. So
it wasn't easy. My first job in baseball was in 1981. It was in the South Atlantic League, and the Mets had a team in Shelby, North Carolina. It was Class A team, and the owner of the franchise at the time, Mr. Jack Farnsworth was his name. He was a Bible salesman, but he was so cheap that he would actually, after each game, Terry, take the balls. He wouldn't let the fans keep the foul balls. He'd send kids chasing foul balls to take them back, and they'd like he'd re-scrub these balls after the game. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was just, it was incredible. We played, you know, it was a high school field, but there was like, it was a hard, grueling situation. John Gibbons was on that team in 81. Lenny Dykstra, that was his first team. He just signed his contract, and I pick him up at the airport, Lenny, and here's this brash young kid right out of high school. I don't know if you know anything about Lenny Dykstra, Sammy. I'm sure, Terry, you do. But we get in the car, and we go to it's a high school field, basically. And he goes, "Where are we?" I was like, "At the field." He goes, "What do you mean? This is the field, Lenny. This is where you play." And he goes, "I just signed a pro baseball contract and you're taking me to a blank high school field." But when he stepped onto the field, and he's always been brash and, you know, exuberant, but he had that special thing. He was amazing on that team, worked his way up the system, and now his life has turned around. But he was truly an amazing Met. But those are the things about the minor leagues you don't expect. So what Terry said before we started taping, you know, Steve Cohen, he's a different type of owner.
Yeah. Way different nowadays, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Very, very, very different. But getting back to just a couple of questions I got for you, and I know this fandom that you've had with the Mets goes way back, but something that I thought was really cool on your Instagram on May 8th, 2022, you DM the Mets asking, quote, "Mets, your thoughts for me throwing out the first pitch sometime this season? Would love to do it, LFGM." Did they ever respond to you, and did you ever get to throw out that first pitch?
No, of course not. I mean, I guess that was just the younger self of me just hoping for them to respond and get me some tickets at the game or something like that.
There you go. But, well, maybe, you know, now you're with the organization, so that's a little bit better than throwing out the first pitch, I would guess, right?
Yeah, way better in my opinion. Now I get to grind through the minor leagues and in hopes to be playing for my dream team one day.
So you're shortstop, you were in number one, you were the player of the month in the Sally League last month. So how exciting is it to you to put on that uniform of a team that you've loved since you were just a little kid?
So exciting. I mean, every single day when I see that Mets logo on, once I get to the locker room, it's just so special. I mean, watching this team grow up and like dreaming of playing for this team one day and then not happening, and then a couple different organizations, and then I finally land here. It's like, wow, like this is like almost a reality. Like I just got to keep grinding and just having fun, and eventually I'll be in the big leagues and be playing for my dream team.
That's amazing.
So Sam, have they talked to you about, now you guys are done, what, September 1st? Is that when the season's over for you guys?
I think it's September 6th.
September 6th.
So three weeks.
Are they talking about anything in the postseason for you, the Instruction League or any of that stuff, or not?
No,
yet?
I have not heard anything yet. Okay. We'll see what happens. They might just be letting me finish out the season and see what happens from there.
Yeah.
Well, I know you have some friendships on the big club right now. AJ Ewing is a buddy of yours, and he's making such a big impact with the ball club this year. Talk to us a little bit about that friendship with AJ and how often you and AJ keep in touch.
Yeah, I mean, we talk all the time. He FaceTimed me Monday, actually. So we talked for a little bit, talked some baseball, talked just life and everything like that. We created a friendship in 23 or 24 when we got drafted. I knew him before that in 22, 21, because we played against each other in travel baseball. But we eventually started playing each other like every week because I was in Daytona. He was in St. Lucie. So we bonded over that. We had a friendship. And we would go out to breakfast every single day when we faced each other and always hang out and just have fun competing against each other on the team. Like, oh, who's going to get more hits this week? Who's going to do better or whatever? So, yeah, we really created an awesome relationship, and I'm super excited to play with him one day because I feel like me and him and just like the younger guys on the team could definitely do something special in New York one day.
Yeah, absolutely. That restaurant you guys went to, you used to go to that, the same restaurant, that same breakfast place all the time, right? What was the name of it?
First Watch.
First Watch. Okay.
Yeah, First Watch.
There's none up north, I don't believe.
They're making a few. There's like one in Paramus, New Jersey, which is kind of far from my house. but there's not many. I just had it this morning, actually. I just ordered it before this.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Finally, Sammy, I finish with your quote recently. You said when you got traded to the Mets, "I got the energy and I'm ready to eat." So here at the Terry Collins Show, we hope you eat well throughout your entire career with the New York Mets organization. Yeah. It's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Thank you. Pleasure meeting you guys as well.
Well, listen, all the best to you, man. Have some fun. Play hard. When you get down here, John, you guys are going to exchange texts. So he's got my number. When you get down here, give me a shout.
Perfect.
I live in PGA Village, so I'm not very far away. So
awesome. So. Yeah. I think I stayed there one time in St. Lucie, the PGA Village.
Did you play golf?
No, I'm trying to learn. No one's trying to teach me. So I'm going to have to learn this offseason.
Well, I'll take you out when you get down here.
Perfect. Yeah. But awesome. Thank you guys so much. And I'm going to have a bunch of questions ready for you once I come see you in St. Lucie.
Okay.
I would ask some now, but just time and everything.
You got one special?
Please. I mean, we're not restricted on time here. We're good. So why don't you go ahead? I mean, you want to ask TC some questions. I mean, this is the time to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What do you think the biggest difference is between a major leaguer and a minor leaguer?
Adjustments. The ability to make adjustments, the ability to, alter your game to adjust to a certain situation. There are times where, minor leaguers, they play with such flair that they can't rein it in at other times because, you guys play a lot of games also, but
yeah.
You get up here where it starts so early and it runs so long, you got to be able to make some adjustments as you go from game to game. How to prepare. And the other thing, one of the things that you've got to learn, I'm sure you are learning now, is in the big leagues, you got to get a routine that works for you and stay with it.
Yeah. And that's also, would you say, like pitch to pitch adjustments or day to day, game to game, like it's everything?
Well, Sammy, again, you're talking to a guy who that's how I learned to play the game.
Yeah.
I watch games today where nobody makes adjustments anymore. Everything's pull side fly balls. But I watched the Yankee. You played last night. I watched a little bit of the Yankee game last night, and this Lombard, the shortstop for the Yankees. Have you seen him?
Yeah, that's one of my friends as well.
Is he? Well, he got two hits last night. Both of them were between the first and second in the four hole. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I had a chance to be around Luis Arraez for a year, and here's a guy who got, just like you, got traded for three straight years and he won three straight batting crowns because he doesn't fit the new prototypical player type. He doesn't pull. He just hits it where they are. Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, those guys, all they do is kept hitting the ball in the barrel wherever they wanted to. And there's a place for that in the game. Not everybody hits home runs. You brought up Ruben Tejada. Ruben Tejada, when he swung, he made contact. So he wasn't going to walk. You go back and look at Tony Gwynn's career. He didn't walk.
But
he hit the ball in the barrel all the time. So I think to be able to do that pitch to pitch, to say, hey, look, I'm going to look for something out there and I'm going to use the big part of the field. So you let the ball travel a little bit farther. There's nothing wrong with that. I asked a couple years ago a minor league player what he used for a two-strike approach, and he didn't know what I was talking about. I looked like I had a stinking hole in my head. So I don't know if that's being taught today, but it's something surely that is going to help you move faster.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's such a different game nowadays, but little things like that could literally like elevate your game to another level. Like Lombard, like you said, I mean, he's just doing whatever it takes to get his team the W. I mean, that's how you make a championship team. You need guys like that to do their job.
Well, Sam, the guy they talk about, we're number two with the Yankees.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good player. Yeah. He's a pretty good player. And that's what he did. He did things to win games. There's a lot of times in today's game, because of the war issues, guys are afraid to get thrown out today because their war goes down.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter, in a 2-2 game in the bottom of the ninth inning, he'd get on. And here comes the middle of the lineup. He hit first or second. So here comes the middle of the lineup. He'd steal second base when everybody'd say, well, he's not going to run because so-and-so's up. Next thing you know, he's standing in scoring position where now a single wins the game. That's the kind of player he was. You know, he went better to his right than he did to his left. So he played more. He shaded the middle a little bit more. He knew who he was and what he was, and he made those adjustments on his own. He didn't have to be told, hey, yeah, look, let's shade this guy in the hole. That's where I go best, so I could get to that ball. So he took another part of the field away. Those are the things that the great players do. You know, that other, I mean, I go back, I talk about David Wright. You know, he beat Mariano Rivera two times in his career with big hits. And one was a dead center, and one was a bloop single to right center field, just where it dropped in front of the right fielder. He didn't try to pull this guy, you know, just like you said. Yeah. He made an adjustment at the plate and said, I know I'm going to get cutters. So I'm not, you know, yeah, why try to pull it? Why try to pull it? Just, you know, use the big part of the field and try to find a hole. And you're right. And that's what makes championships. You know, when I was the farm director, I had a philosophy, you know, and it was all about developing a player. You know, a guy like yourself, we got to get you, you know, 400 at bats in the minor leagues. Okay. That's important. But you know what else is important? To learn how to win. Because when you get to the big leagues, it's expected that you know how to win.
Yeah.
And when it's part of your culture, that's all you've ever done is win, you have expectations of yourself and how to play the game. And I think you can't replace those. Sam, you can't replace those at the big, big level. Those guys that do that, you'd be shocked at how many times they've won in the minor leagues or won in amateur ball.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'll leave you with one more. What was your favorite game you've ever managed?
Oh my God.
With the Mets. With the Mets.
With the Mets?
Yeah.
There were a bunch, pal. I will tell you, probably my favorite game was game five against the Dodgers, the first round of the playoffs. You know, they were really good. And we're facing Zach Greinke. And, you know, Jake was going to start the game. And that was the game, I told Noah he's going to pitch out of the bullpen that game. And our guys, and we, you know, they had a really, really good team. And we just came out, and everybody did what I expected them to do. You know, Jake didn't have real good stuff that game.
Yeah.
But he mixed his pitches up. And, you know him, he didn't walk anybody. And so, and we got a couple of big hits. Murph hit another home run. We played tremendous defense. And that goes down because that's – you know, that was, I thought really that was the team we had to beat if we were going to go anywhere. And so that was a big one. Game three in New York in the World Series to win a game because we should have won game one in Kansas City. That was a huge game. There were a bunch. The game against Washington on Sunday night when we swept them. That was after Wilmer's, when he hit the walk-off in the first game of the series. We had three homers. Granderson hit a homer. I think Murph hit a homer. And Duda hit a big home run. And, both, you know, those were – that got us going. That set us – got us on fire.
Yeah. Now, I think nowadays the NLCS is seven games, right? I feel like it was five games when you guys played.
No,
right?
That was the division game, the NLDS. That was five games. The championship series when we played the Cubs, that was seven.
That was seven.
Them, so it only went 4-0.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what hurt it. To be honest, I look back and I don't care what anybody said. We swept the Cubs and we sat for 6 days.
Yeah, that's not fun.
I called every manager I knew. I called La Russa. I called Torrey. I called Leland. I called Lasorda. Said, you know, what do I do here? I mean, we can't. And everybody had a different idea, and they said, we've all tried them. It doesn't work. Now, Joe Torrey said, just make sure your closer's ready. That's what he told me, and I said, well, you got the best of the game. Let's compare apples and apples here.
But that's crazy.
The
resting for that long, you, like, kind of lose the momentum. You're like, wow, like it takes a couple of days to get back up and running. Like, it's not easy. People don't understand.
I told you that, got it 100% correct. The adrenaline you have going after we swept the Clubs, we were absolutely sky high, right? Yeah. And 3 days later, you can just see it. You can just, and you know, an adrenaline, it beats you up, man. It beats your system up. And that's why, you know, they talk about the World Series hangovers in spring training because, you know, you use up so much adrenaline in the World Series and it's October and you only really have about three more months and you got to get back at it again. And you got to recapture that same energy level. And it's tough because it beats your system up.
I'm sure the WBC this year, the players coming back from that, going to spring training in the regular season, they're probably like, wow, like, this is so weird because they had so much adrenaline from the World Baseball Classic. And then going absolutely back, they're probably like, whoa.
100%. I'd like to look and see how all those guys, what kind of starts they all got off to.
Yeah.
You're right, man. It's tough. But that's why one of the things, and I will tell you, Sam, and I know they do it differently today. I'm a big believer in winter ball. Okay. Yeah. I love winter ball because winter balls, if they can talk about development, you got to win in winter ball. Yeah. You go get sent home. And it also, I just did an appearance up in Michigan, in my home state. And they're all college kids in the college league. And they asked me about, because they're at summer program, they played 72 games. And they said, what do you think about us playing 72 games? And I said, I think it's great. You got to learn how to play every day. Yeah, you know, when I was the farm director in Los Angeles, I told our rookie league coaches, the thing that we, our biggest challenge is to take these college kids or these high school kids and have them do things every single day because they're not ready. They're not used to it. But they've got to learn how to do it because once they climb the ladder, they've got to be able to handle it. Because it beats you up, as you know, it wears you down, man. I remember my first full season, I was playing in the Carolina. We won the league. And I had a Hall of Fame player hitting behind me named Dave Parker, and Dave was 6'5", 240, okay, a star. And we're playing in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Hey, I played there so much.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I play there like every week. Was that chewing tobacco company, right? And that chewing tobacco smell was in the air. And I'm getting ready to start the game because we're playing in Salem, Virginia. And Dave comes over and hits me over the top of my helmet with the handle of his bat. And I look at him. Now, this is my first full season. Okay, After I signed, we played in that half-year league. And it's time to get ready. You got to get ready every night. And so those are the things that I think you and your teammates now got to be ready. That, hey, look, you got to be able to take care of yourself because you got to get ready to play tomorrow.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, one more little question, right? Any advice you'd give a player like me going through the minor leagues, ups and downs, any advice just to get to the big leagues, keep going?
Yeah, I will tell you, learn how to understand that there are ups and downs. So when you're 4-for-4, don't get too high.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow you might be 0-for-5 and don't get too low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a neutral.
I know it sounds easy, Sam, and it's not, because you get a hot streak, you know, you look up and you're 7-for-10 and you're riding the clean and everybody's, you know, it's your, the next thing you know, you're 0-for-14 and guys don't even want to sit next to you. You know, they don't want to touch your bat. And, you know, so just understand it. When you get to the big leagues and every night there's pressure to win, you know, you're in an area now, and I know you want to win, but it's all about working on your skills.
Yeah.
But when you get in the big leagues, there's nothing like playing in the World Series. Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, just nothing. As a fan watching it, you're like, wow, you could feel this. Like, I'm nervous for them. Like, it's pretty cool.
You walk out in that field. When we walked out in game 3 in Citi Field, the electricity in the ballpark was off the charts. Off the charts. So it's cool. And I wish you the best.
Thank you. Enjoy
your time. You know, is this your third year?
This is my third year.
So when I gave a speech a week ago and I talked about when my first spring training after I signed, I met guys who were 28, 29, 30 years old, still playing in AAA, because back then there was no free agency. You didn't move, you stayed with the New York. So I played with the Dodgers. They had the same infield for 12 years. We didn't go anywhere. But I wrote a letter to my mother and said, well, I'm going to play 3 years. And if I'm not in the big leagues in 3 years, I'm going to quit and go back to college. 55 years later, I'm still in the game. So it got in my blood. It got in my blood, and I did what I had to do, and I don't have to apologize for anything. I did.
Excellent. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Sammy, for joining us.
Get a hold of me when you get down here. We'll get together.
Awesome, for sure. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Good to meet you. Good luck.